Got it.
Awesome. Hello, everyone. This is Steve Smith with Metalheads Forever magazine, and we're interviewing John Gallagher of the band Raven. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing great, man.
Awesome. You guys, Raven's been around since the 1980s, like the early 1980s, and even earlier than that when you guys formed. You guys been doing this for over 20 years now, and now you're doing a live album that's coming out on January 18th. So what made you guys decide to do a live album?
Well, it's it was the right time. Actually, this is our 45th year as a band. Can you believe that?
Whoa,
that's
no
insane.
Way.
Yeah, me and my brother formed the band in 1974. Crazy. When we were minus 5 years old. We still weren't born yet, but we had guitars. Well, we've done two live albums in the past. We did one that was well received live at the Inferno back in 1984, I believe. And then we did a one in 1995. So it seems to be every 20, 30 years, what have you. Jeez. So this one comes 35 years after Live at the Inferno. Ish, again, crazy. We basically been going through some stumbling blocks recording our new studio album, and the record company really didn't want to put it out until the end of this year, and we were like, it's been too long since we've had a release out. We really need something out there, because you know, we've had delays on the last two. I mean, Walk Through Fire, which we did in 2009-2010, took forever. Partially because my brother had a life, he nearly died in 2001 when a building fell on him. So it took him a long time to basically learn how to walk and get all that fixed. So we did Walk Through Fire, we started touring, and things, we hadn't been out for a while, so there was a lot of touring to be done. So it really delayed the next album, which was Extermination, which came out like 5-6 years after that. And we're like, we don't want to be putting out albums every 5 years or 6 years. You know, we want to continue hitting the hammer home and getting out there and doing what we like to do. So we were said to Mike, our new drummer, do you have any live recordings? Because T would always chase the sound man and say, you know, can you record the show on the board? You know, with the new computer boards, you can hook up a computer or a memory stick or whatever and get a multi-track recording. And he had a few, and he checked and said, we've got this amazing show from Denmark from last year. You got to hear it. And we checked it out and said, blew us away. It was everything you'd want a live album to be. It was out of control, but, you know, in control enough that you could figure out what was going on, and had the energy, and it's a good set list, and we just said, let's do this. Talk to the record company. They loved the idea, and bang, there it is.
That's awesome. And that's pretty awesome that you guys definitely want to keep recording good shows and all that. That way the fans themselves can kind of experience the show themselves that they kind of missed out on.
Exactly. You know, it wasn't really planned out, but the way it's working is it shows where we are and it shows where we're going. And it's a great introduction to our new drummer, Mike Heller, who's like insane on this thing. He's like just crazed. And it's a great bridge between the last studio album, because we play a couple of those songs on it and you can hear how, you know, radically they are revved up and changed slightly. And it's pointing to where we're going to be, in where we are with the studio record. So it's a perfect bridge in that respect.
Well, definitely. I can, I actually, like, love us actually at the magazine, actually listen to the live single of the, from the album, Hun, Drawn, and Quartered. And I really feel like the fans are getting the idea what to expect when they see Raven live, from that single alone, and what the album's going to be as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, you listen back to the original version of that song from 83, and it's, you know, the original version's great and all that, but it sounds downright pedestrian compared to this. This version's, you know, so much more intense and faster and crazier, but it's still identifiably Raven. So that's, you know, it shows we are keeping our roots, but we are moving forward at the same time.
Exactly. And talking about roots, a lot of people, most of our fan base may not know this, but you guys have been one of the hugest influences in during the 80s, especially on bands like Overkill, which is quite clear, is easily heard in the music. Do you think that influence is still continuing to this day with the modern bands going on?
Well, we get young bands coming up all the time, and a lot of the older bands too. I mean, you know, we were out there with the new wave of British heavy metal, so along with the Saxons and the Iron Maidens and the early Def Leppards and Angel Witch, you know, we were there too, influencing the Metallicas and the Anthraxes and the Overkills and the Exodus, and, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, just like we were influenced as kids by Budgie and Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple and Judas Priest, you know, the torch gets passed down the line. And it's great to hear that. And there's a lot of, well, I mean, when we play now, there's like three generations of fans. There's like, you know, people that are our age and older, and then there's their kids, and then more and more, there's their kids. So you're getting young teenagers, and they're so knowledgeable. They've ransacked their father's or their mother's record collection, and they know all the songs. They know, you know, who was in which band. If, you know, you could put them on Mastermind and they'd get a good score, you know.
It does.
Well, that's great. That shows the music's alive, and it's continuing. The torch gets passed further down, which is awesome.
And you're right. It does seem like a lot of the younger fans are now coming back to the roots of heavy metal, like you said. Like a lot of these kids are buying records from the parents, from Angel Witch, from the early Def Leppards and all that, and they are tracing back from what metal was back in the day. Why do you think is there such a huge interest in going back to the roots?
The reason they do that is that a lot of that music's just got more substance. It's more honest. It wasn't a studio, you know, like a complete manufactured thing. I mean, you'll hear a lot of modern rock, or if they're going to call it metal, I don't class it as metal, but if they want to call it metal, great. And it's, everything is just so pushed to the max as far as a studio creation. It's compressed to hell. There's so much effects. The drums are never real. They're always all fake. It's the equivalent of watching like a Transformers movie, where it's an absolute assault on your senses to the point where it's like, you know, give me a story, give me some acting, don't just give me boom bam bang 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 bang, you know, for an hour and a half. It's to me it's similar to that. So, you know, if someone's going to be listening to a, I don't know, Five Finger Death Punch or whatever, and then they go and listen to a Led Zeppelin record, there's a big difference in many ways. I'm not denigrating one band or the other, but there's a huge difference. You know, and people will say, well, that's the way things are done these days, but, you know, at the expense of light and shade and quality, don't know. I remember all the wars that came out a few years ago about the Metallica album that was brick wall mastered, Death Magnetic, when it came out, where it was just compressed so that the quietest note was as loud as the loudest note. And there was a whole uproar about that, where it was like a bridge too far. And I think a lot of people have tried to scale back from that at this point.
I do agree. It does seem like a lot of some of the bands, like you said, have been noticing that everything's become too compressed in the music industry, even in the metal community. A lot of bands are going
Oh, very
bad.
Much so. I mean, obviously, in the pop world, it's beyond. I remember seeing a round table interview with there was a couple of rock guys, some hip hop and rap, some producers, and the guy who was the rock guy said, "Well, I think it was Bob Rock was saying, well, I like rock because there's that unpredictable factor, and things aren't perfect." And the rap guy would say, well, that's why I hate rock, because it's not perfect. I want it perfect. And the only thing that's not perfect, of course, is the vocals. Well, now with autotune, it's everything's perfect. Everything can be manufactured. You can get, you know, some tone deaf moron and have them warble and tune them in and put them in time, and it'll sound like a halfway decent singer at this point. The things they can do is ridiculous. Most of the songs you'll hear that are in the R&B and dance world, there's no actual musicians playing at all. The drums are manufactured. Everything else is just tapped out on a computer keyboard. And, you know, they'll get somebody to rap on top of it. Da-da, there's a song. And to me, it's like painting by numbers with boxing gloves on. But what do I know?
I believe me, metal fans would definitely agree that we, a lot of the metal fans and rockers in general, music can go back to the roots where everything was raw, everything was real, everything was more human-like rather than everything being manufactured. Because that's what makes Raven such a great band. Like, you guys have always been real since day one. Like, what you hear, what you're going to get live. So you know you guys are always going to play the best show possible, because you don't have that.
That's it. That's our viewpoint. Well, every show we play is the last show we'll ever play, and it's the best show we'll ever play. That is our attitude. Take no prisoners, go out there, give 110%, and leave it all out on the stage. That doesn't matter if there's 20 people in the room or 20,000. That's our stock in trade, that's our guarantee, and that's our reputation, and that's what we do. And I can't see anyone do anything less. There's other genres of music which I'm not a fan of, but if you see someone like a Bruce Springsteen, you've got to respect that, because that's what he does. Got to give it to the guy. 100% commitment. He'll go out there. And, you know, you can't go against that. That's really what it's all about. You know, if you're a musician, you've got to love what you do. You've got to go out there and have a good time. And, you know, hopefully you drag the crowd along with you. That's the way it works.
I agree. That is probably one of the best advice that anyone can say about being a live band and being a band in general, what to give the fans. So many bands wish they could do that these days, but some of these bands, like you said, rely too much on technology. And you say, like, it doesn't matter what size of venue it is, you want to make sure that show sounds as good as the studio as live. Because you want everything to be 100% organic.
Yeah. If you've got an audience, they've paid money. A lot of people forget the entertainment factor. I mean, we're musicians, but we're more entertainers than musicians when it comes to playing a live show. You're an entertainer. So, we're the circus. We go out there and do it.
Actually, talking about shows, actually, you guys, like you say, you guys have played small venues before. You play big arena and festivals. Do you feel like there's like a certain energy when it comes to a different like size of location when it comes to playing live shows?
We try to treat them all the same. Obviously, if you're playing a really big, really big place, the stage is bigger, so you kind of have to pace yourself. You can't run around as crazy as you do in a small one, because you got to cover more area. So you're going to weigh yourself out a lot quicker. So that's a factor. And the fact that when you're playing, I mean, we played a soccer stadium in Brazil with Metallica. And when it's venues of that size, you kind of just got to do everything a little bigger. That's the only difference. You know, if you do everything short, sharp and rushed, it's kind of gets lost in the shuffle as far as communicating with the audience, you know. But, that's one of the things we are very good at, is communicating with the audience. So, you know, whether it's, if it's small, you can be a little more intimate. And you just change it up depending on where you're playing. You know, whether you're playing a big club show or whether you're playing a, you know, 20,000 capacity festival, you know, you just have to just slightly adjust what you're doing. But there's not a huge difference in what we do. We pretty much, you know, try to bring the club to the arena and bring the arena to the club.
Now, that's a good mentality to have, because, like, a lot of bands, you say, like, sometimes they try to, like, put more energy on a bigger festival more than a small festival. It seems like you guys always have that 110% energy on stage to make sure you communicate with, like you said, with the fans and the audience to make sure that they gain 100% what they paid to see.
Yeah, I mean, we love playing live, and I think anyone that goes out there and you can tell their face is tripping them, and you know, like, they didn't give me the right sandwiches today, and I didn't get my bottle of whiskey. I'm all upset and pissed off. That's, you know, that's just stupid. And luckily, there's not a lot of people that do that, but they are out there, and it's just staggering to see that people like that are still in the business. But hey, it happens.
That is true. I mean, we all have heard like horror stories of some bands had a bad day and they decided not to play a whole set because they just didn't feel like it. We heard stories about that before, and it's kind of unsettling.
Yeah, it is, and it's you know, you see it when you've seen a band where there's an onstage fight between the band members or something happens. Things can go sour really quickly, and that feeling of unrest spreads so fast. And it's like, ooh. I remember as a kid seeing the late Paul Kossoff. He had a band called Backstreet Crawler. And he was incredible. And the fans loved him so much. But he was kind of out of it. And he'd ramble between songs. And the rest of the band were just mad. And, I mean, I'm all for destroying stuff on stage. But when it's in a bad mood, it really kind of like kind of ruined the show. And unfortunately, the guy died of a drug overdose like about a month later. So, but, you know, those kind of feelings, it really transmits very quickly. So, you know, and likewise, the positive. If a band's out there positive, they're smiling, they're connecting with the crowd, it's contagious. You know, there's nothing better. You get that feeling everyone's in it together, and, you know, get the crowd to sing along, and it's awesome.
And since you guys been around for such a long time, you guys clearly traveled so many different parts of the world. It's kind of amazing to see, like, you have a fan base way past the Europe and your America countries. You guys are clearly loved in, like, South America, you're even loved in Japan, even, obviously. why do you think, yep, why all these countries, like, tend to, like, gravitate to you guys more? Like, what would be the biggest country, like, I guess, treats you the best that you've been to in over the last couple of years?
It's tough. I mean, we have, like, a cult following pretty much everywhere. We're going off to Japan in March, and we're going to be playing China for the first time right after that. So that's going to be interesting. Japan, this will be the fourth time we've been, and we always get treated so well, and the fans are so passionate, and they're just crazy. It's great. So we love that. I mean, we've been to Korea. We did a few years ago, which was incredible. We're trying to get together to get to Australia later this year. And we'll be going back to South America probably May, I think, is what we're looking at. So we get around, and it's great for us because we have a lot of places to play, so, and we like to play, so it's going to keep us out of trouble, that's for sure. We'll be all over. But it's difficult to nail it down. I mean, when we were first starting out, you'd know that the north of England was a lot more crazy and less reserved than the south of England. And then things went on, that was not quite so true. The south of England kind of loosened up a little bit. And as far as America's concerned, not really. It's pretty much crazy that the West Coast were the first to start, you know, stage diving and doing all that craziness. But it's pretty much crazy everywhere. Europe, Germany, of course, is, you know, the center of the heavy metal world, pretty much. So they're great. But when you get to play places that don't get as many bands, like Greece, or when we play Italy. France is awesome too. I mean, Poland, we played Poland for the first time, and Czechoslovakia and Lithuania and Estonia. Those places are incredible. Finland, excellent. So it's all good. At the end of the day, they're Raven fans.
It's great to see such great support for such an amazing band like you guys. And as you must be like one of the best bands that you can say that you actually played with your brother. Like, how does that chemistry works, like on the albums and all that? Like, you guys must be like really in tune with each other, being like siblings and all that.
definitely, because I mean, we learned to play together. So, I mean, and I'm playing bass, he's playing guitar. I know how to complement what he's doing, you know, without just aping it. I can play a part that'll dovetail into what he's doing to make it sound bigger. And when we're jamming on stage, we usually have one or two songs where we stretch out and just go off, and, you know, I'll let Mark go off, and we'll battle it out, trading solos and stuff, and it's great. We have that, and we've already institutionalized that with Mike. I mean, he's only been with us, what, 18 months, 2 years at this point, but we have that ESP thing where we'll just turn around and just stop dead. Boom. Right on a dime. And just know what to do. Mike will start playing. I'll just play with him and match all his hits. It's all there. It's just intuitive. And, you know, if you're tuned in on the same wavelength, it makes things a lot easier. That's for sure. I mean, Mark will do that. He'll just stop a song at the end and like, oh, let's go into something else, and just start it up, and boom, we're right there. And I love those moments, because that's like, and it's obvious to the audience too, like, oh, they're just having fun. And that's really what it's all about. If we get to have fun, hopefully everyone else does too.
That's awesome. That is really awesome to hear that junior brother have such a great chemistry on stage, and you guys just know from playing with each other for such a long time that you know exactly what the other one's thinking. Like, there's been so many bands that do not even have that chemistry, and you guys, clearly it shows bright in the music, and it showcases like how skilled and how unique Raven is as a band.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. One more question. So I know you're probably busy today with all these interviews. I want to make sure we are.
Oh, yeah. They'll be chasing you. Yep.
If you could have like a dream lineup, since you guys, you know, been playing since the 80s, you guys play like with so many different bands over the years, what would be your dream lineup for a festival for you personally? Like, what would be the best lineup if you could create one on your own to play with bands? Like, which bands would you play with if you could pick any?
Dream Festival, where you'd put all the good ones in, wouldn't you? You'd put Judas Priest, you'd put in Iron Maiden, you'd put in Metallica, all those good people. You there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Yeah, I just heard a beep there. Yeah, basically the best of all the fields. I'd put them all in, all the classics. Yeah, we'd even dig a few up. Jimi Hendrix, are you there? Come on out. Dig you up for one special show. And, you know, hopefully the festivals they have in Europe, which are so much, you know, the lineups are like incredible. They just really don't do that in the States. I just hope they get their heads out of their behinds long enough to try and do that, instead of these crazy festivals like Bonnaroo, where you look, and if you're lucky, out of like 100 bands, you can recognize 3 names.
Well, that's true. Like you said, like Europe, like they have like the biggest festivals, like Vak and Grass Pop, most known festivals that like heavy metal had basically.
And you look at the lineups. I mean, we're doing Grass Pop and we're doing Rockfest Barcelona. The lineups are incredible. It's like every band you'd want to see. It's amazing. And it's a shame that those festivals don't translate to the States. But, you know, we can live in hope and just do our thing, and hopefully it all works out eventually, you know?
You know what they say, the fans, they're very resilient. If they can find a way to go see you guys live, even at a festival that's across the globe, they will make time for it. They will.
That's a good thing. Yeah, the world is a little smaller these days, so these things are not impossible. Yeah.
So I want to say thank you, John, for being on Metalheads Forever. I want to say also thank you, for our listeners as well. Make sure you pick up the new live album that comes out on January 18th. It's known as Screaming Mortal Death from Above Live. You should get it. If you have not heard any Raven, you just buy this live album and soon you're gonna be a fan.
Exactly.
Thank you
Thanks
so
so
much.
much, mate, and thanks to everyone out there. Check out that new live album, and we'll see you out on the road. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Cheers, mate.